From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show. This looks like a job for me, so everybody
just follow me, because we need a little controversy, because it feels so empty. Language in the year 2022 by the gangster government is camouflage. Think about it. Credits, subsidies, renewable energy. It's all language of deception. Pensions in the public sector. See, pensions only exist if it's a return on investment. Obligations to pay people for mediocre, sometimes ghost jobs, is only something government can do. So Illinois doesn't have a pension problem. They have an employment problem. Their pensions are mystical, magical, unicorns and lollipops. They don't exist. It's fraud. People underwrite it. How many of you knew you just bought $600 million of pension obligation bonds? What the hell is that word salad? I wanted to bring on an expert to discuss. He's Ted Dabrowski of Wire Points. Ted, thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, Sean, thanks for having me on.
What a great phrase. Pension obligation bonds. I don't like the sound of that. I certainly wouldn't buy that. But as an Illinoisan, which I'm not anymore, do Illinoisans have a choice?
No, we actually borrow that way. This is look, this is for people to understand what these bonds are. This is another way of prioritizing the public sector workers over ordinary Illinoisans. And so, you know, in Illinois, we've got two classes of people. One is the public sector class, which is protected by the constitutional pension protection. They get long-term contracts. They have collective bargaining laws that protect their salaries, et cetera, et cetera. They get all that, and there's the other class, which is the ordinary resident, which doesn't get all those things, but it has to pay for that first class, no matter what situation they're in, and you know, no matter the cost.
So, can
and
we
these
call
bonds
them,
help protect these pensions? Is what they do.
Can we call them the one percenters? Because the reality is, they get to live like millionaires long into their retirement that they're able to take in their 50s, while the rest of the American Illinoisans suffer under the cost of that corruption fix, because I cannot imagine this can be legal, let alone written into the law of Illinois.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it is. We've got this constitutional protection of pensions for public sector workers, and it does do that. It lets them retire in their 50s. The average state worker who retires with a full career will start with about a $75,000 pension in their 50s, and it'll grow at 3% a year compounded. And it's it's paid for life, and taxpayers, ordinary people, have to pay for those.
Wow. Wow. And then they're not taxed.
That's right. And they're not taxed. That's right.
Boy, oh boy, that's a great scam if you can get in on it. And the reality is a lot of people get in on it. In fact, there was just a scandal in the sheriff department. Seems to be something that we all knew about in Sewer Chicago, something called ghost jobs. Can you explain what the ghost job is, and do ghost job recipients, do they qualify for pensions?
I don't know. You know, there's this. You're just getting back into the little bit of the fraud. You know that we know that you know, Mike Madigan's part of. You know, jobs that exist, or maybe they don't exist, but certainly people get paid for it. And I don't know if they get pensions either. But what I do know is that, you know, these pensions are really nice, and if you can get one or maybe two, they're quite valuable. And you know, we have people who double dip. Those are people who, like my old superintendent here in Wilmette, he retired in his 50s. And if you can get a half-time job being a superintendent at a different district, you can collect your pension, your full pension, and get half that salary. So it's these are the kind of games that we have to support here in Illinois.
You know, Ted, this is something that seems obvious. This is something that seems illegal. But moreover, this is something that would seem to prevent a state that's losing population, as if Mrs. O'Leary kicked the lantern over again. But the reality is, I just watched that beanbag with a pumpkin on, calling himself Governor Pritzker, tell me that Illinois had a surplus. How in the world could he come to that conclusion?
Well, so we did get almost $200 billion in federal COVID aid over the last 2 years.
$200 billion.
So for the private sector, yeah, $200 billion. So for the private sector, public sector, all those grants, it came into people's, you know, like these stimulus checks that people got, unemployment benefits, all those things, $200 billion. And you know, that's an amazing number. And what it did is it's helped Illinois for these 2 years have record income tax revenues, record sales tax revenues. You know, the stock market was up because of all that funny money that was printed. So there's big capital gains taxes. So, you know, Pritzker is celebrating the fact that $200 billion in bailout money has you know, filled the coffers for the first time in a long time. But, you know, but it's not true that it's anything Illinois did. It's all the money that came in from the federal government.
You know, Ted, we talk about numbers as Americans. I think we're just basically morons. I kind of start to believe with Gruber, who worked for Obama. I think the American people are morons. $1 billion is 1,000 millions. So Illinois was handed a welfare check of 200,000 millions. And is it fair now to call Illinois what it really is, a welfare state?
Well, I think it's fair for that for now. Let's see what happens going forward. You know, Illinois, this $200 billion papered over Illinois' problems. Before COVID, we were close to being a junk-rated state. And for those people who don't know what that means, it's like having a horrible credit score, right? Nobody wants to lend you money. You're kind of like the financial bum. And we were there. And, you know, this was a lifeline passed over to Pritzker from the federal government. But, you know, no problems have been fixed. Pensions haven't been reformed. Our property taxes are higher now than they were before we started. So, you know, the fiscal cliff that Illinois is on is still there. We're just kind of in a temporary cloud that nobody can see that cliff. But you know, when the cloud lifts, we'll still be in trouble.
Now I know you don't focus on the politics. You focus on the fact. The fact of the matter is, you can't tax welfare money and pretend it's revenue in real life. I mean, you really shouldn't be able to in any life. How much of the so-called revenue that's generated in Illinois have you ever done a study on how much of that money is actually the origins of government handouts and welfare? Has anyone ever looked at that? When you look at the revenue that's generated from marijuana sales, when you look at the revenue that's generated from video gambling and the new Sam Giancana economic scheme of Illinois, is there a way to fake it until you get another COVID handout?
Yeah, you know, we look at that, and you know, the problem is that it's hard to fake unless you get a COVID handout. I really think that Illinois, you know, in the next 3 to 5 years would have been in deep trouble had it not been for the COVID bailout. And you can do things like marijuana, and you know, it's raised a decent amount of money, but you know, all these sin taxes that they try to do, they don't work. You know, like people just go over the border, and we're seeing that now with the gas. You know, we have the second highest gas prices in the country. And so what happens? People go right over the border. So you can try these sin taxes on alcohol, on gas, on all that. But people go right over the border. And the more casinos we open, well, you know, Indiana's going to open their casinos, Wisconsin, their casinos. So at some point, it's you know, it's just, you know, we're trying to take away revenues from somebody else. It's not sustainable. It's not creation. It's not real value. It's, well, you know what it is.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. I was reading an article recently that there's been an explosion in police in particular that were qualified for retirement, but really didn't plan on taking it for another 5, 6, 7, 10 years. But yet under this new current climate of America, as we see, numerous people who wouldn't have necessarily retire. That's another massive strain onto it. Is there a uptick in businesses that are moving? I also saw the beanbag with a pumpkin, Governor Pritzker, tout that businesses were moving to Illinois. Is that in fact the case?
You know, there's always, you know, we're the sixth largest state in the country, right? So we're always going to have businesses moving here. So it's going to be easy to tout that X business moved here, and the loop is still hot, you know, for corporate offices and things like that. But you know, when you look at the population of Illinois, in the last decade, we're just one of three states to shrink in the country. There was Mississippi, West Virginia, and Illinois, three states in the whole country that shrunk in the last decade. And then last year, 2021, we lost 115,000 people in population. This spells really bad trouble. I can't tell you really what happens with companies. That's a harder thing to figure out what goes on. But you certainly don't put your companies in states that are shrinking. You move to Tennessee, you move to Florida, to Texas. Texas grew by 4 million people last decade. Florida grew by 2.8 million people last decade. We shrunk. So it's pretty easy to know where to put your companies if you're trying to grow and make money and invest.
But what did grow in Illinois is the amount of people that are subsidized, that are on welfare of one form or another. And what did grow in Illinois, in fact, there's one Democrat town that received 1,400 PPP loans. Is there any kind of statistic on the growth of the welfare system in Illinois?
Well, we know we don't have like a good number, but we know like food stamps, or, you know, food stamp usage continues to grow. People on food stamps, you know, that's for the status quo class. They love showing how many more people are on food stamps. It's like for them, it's a mark of success. You know, for us, it means that we have more people, right? Medicaid, the same thing. You know, we have like over 25% of the population on Medicaid. That's not good. They think it's good. It's bad because that means they're dependent on government. Same thing with you know, a lot of this unemployment aid and stuff like that. We go the wrong way. We got the wrong metrics, and it's why we're having trouble.
Young professionals were a bulk of the people moving out when those statistics first broke. That was more than 2 years ago. Has there been a change in the age demographics of the people moving in versus out?
Well, we're counting on new data, but I tell you what we did at Wirepoint. So the IRS reports each year. You know, the IRS knows where you live. They know where you lived last year. They know how big your family is. They know how much money you make. And so they track this stuff, and they report it. And you know, people like us at Wirepoint, we can grab that data and see where people are going to, who's winning people, who's losing people. And, you know, I just said how bad Illinois is, right? We're one of the biggest losers of people. We compete with New York as the biggest losers of people. Well, in that data, they tell you by age group and by income group who's winning people and who's losing people to other states, the net winning or losing. Illinois, in every single age group, lost on a net basis to all the other states. Illinois, in every single income group, lost to other states. Poor people, rich people, young people, old people, students. We lose across the board, Sean. It's amazing how bad it is.
What sickens me the most, Ted, is that we could be, we were, a true hub of business, a true hub of success. We have 14 nuclear plants. We were an oil-producing state. We were a coal-producing state. Yet we have adopted this this agenda of what I call eco-Nazism, but the fact that you are going to hamstring these states, these strong states, they could be financially strong. Is there any talk that you hear in your circles that maybe there will be a horizon where Illinois turns on those shuttered nuclear plants and maybe opens some of the energy now that there's a national call for energy production? Is there a push by any Illinois Republicans even that you hear of to kind of make Illinois great again?
Well, I'm not hearing it. I know some downstate Republicans that would be big in support of you know, opening up some of that energy, you know, all sources type of approach. But, you know, overall, I don't think so. I think we're still heading in the wrong direction. Certainly, certainly the current powers, you know, they don't want to talk about what you just said. It's the exact opposite. They have no plan, Sean. You know, when they were doing this big green energy bill last year, we FOIA'd Governor Pritzker's office to find out what plan they had. And they could never send us a plan. They want to redo all of energy in Illinois, you know, and go to 100% renewable in, you know, 2050 or whatever the date is. And yet they could never send us a plan of how that happens, how it rolls out, who's going to do all the investment, nothing. So I think it's just a dream right now, and I think it should be pretty scary for people because we don't know how we're going to produce energy 10 years or 15 years down the road, especially in the southern part of the state. The northern part of the state might be better taken care of, but not the southern part.
From your article, it was $600 million in these pension obligation bonds that was in the bill HB 4677. Did they just issue the bills? Who bought the bills? And how long will it last, in your guesstimate?
So they haven't done that one yet. That was going to be law, I'm sure, very soon with Governor Pritzker. But cities around the state have been doing it. Skokie just recently did $176 million, whatever. It's just a big number. But what they did is they borrowed the money from you know, whatever, banks in the country somewhere. And they're taking all that money and they're stuffing it into the pension plans. So they're making the pension plans, which are very, very weak and very, you know, most of them are broke. They're putting all that money in, making the pensioners safe. They can now sleep at night. But now all that debt is owed by taxpayers. So all the Skokie taxpayers are now directly on the hook for paying back that $176 million. So pensioners happy, taxpayers stiffed. And it's not a nice situation. It's not a fair situation because, you know, every time you look, this government here in Illinois is always prioritizing the public sector workers and the unions and leaving the ordinary Illinoisans to pay the bill. And that's why so many people are leaving, Sean. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Oh, Ted, well, I have to tell you, I'm infuriated by what you just said, because the reality is I've been in the money business, around the money business, my whole life. How can you take a loan that funds a pension system and is not anchored by anything other than the future debt to taxpayers as a municipality? I mean, what they've in essence done is obligate and monetize a fraudulent loan. I can't imagine there's a lending institution that says, hey, we need to borrow money because we're going to put it in a pension system. And this is a pension system that was just short of money. And the people are obligated. I mean, I thought that was something only the Federal Reserve in America could do with Congress's helm. This is just a municipality, a nickel and dime municipality that just strapped the citizens of Skokie for a loan.
Yeah, see now the argument would be, well, the citizens of Skokie were supposed to pay for those pensions anyway over time. But, you know, the thing was is that everybody was kind of at risk in Illinois, right? The pension funds didn't have money. Taxpayers are in trouble. But now what Skokie officials have done is they've borrowed a whole bunch of money, made the pensioners all safe, right? They've funded all that. The pension fund is now almost fully funded, 90% funded. So it's like in good shape right now. And now ordinary people have to, like, they're going to see they have to have their taxes raised in order to pay that.
It's like politics, where bank fraud exists and is legal. I mean, that's what it is. This to me is bank fraud. I can't imagine a lending institution would say okay.
Oh, you know, all these banks, they love this stuff. You know why? Illinois is like a bad credit. Like I said, it's got a bad credit score, so it pays really high interest rates.
They pay higher interest rates.
Yeah,
this is a rigged game.
Yeah, and people love the high interest rates in Illinois.
Ted Dabrowski, I've still got some interest in property there. You just gave me a great argument to make sure that my wife cooperates and we sell them. Thank you very much, Ted Dabrowski.
Hey, thank you, Sean. Take care.
.org. We'll be back with your calls and comments after this.